Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com.
You press your luck. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, whether you like it or not, this is Dirt, and I'm bringing you Wrestling Radio here on VGLosers.com. Now, there's two pieces of news to talk about today. First of all, from the land of TNA, if you have crossed the line, of course, you know about everything going on with Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle and that whole situation. Well, it appears it has gotten worse for Jeff Jarrett. Recent word has come down that Dutch Mantel and Salvio Vega have both been released from TNA. They were both working behind the scenes. Dutch Mantel was one of the bookers, guy on the writing team who worked closely with Jeff Jarrett, brought the old-school sensibility to TNA, whereas, of course, Russo brings that whole sports entertainment WWE style. Salvio Vega was working as a road agent. He and Dutch Mantel had been friends. Dutch Mantel had worked in Puerto Rico for a while, so the release of Dutch Mantel and Salvio Vega from the company kind of signify that, you know, this is becoming Russo's baby, Kurt Angle's baby. They're working very close with Dixie Carter, and you're going to see basically the end of any of the old school mentalities that used to hang around. This is going to be all, I'm sure you're going to see nothing but reverse King of the Hill, Cage, Six Sides of Steel, Electrified on a pole matches. You're going to see a cage on a pole match where they have to climb up the pole to get into the cage to wrestle while hanging from the cage to get the belt that is suspended underneath the ring. You're going to see stuff like that, so if you like that stuff, then more power to you. You're going to love TNA. You're going to cross that line. The other big news, of course, is that the Brian Kendrick has been released from WWE. We've kind of seen that the last couple weeks. It looked like he was starting to get something interesting, having him verbally assault Jerry Lawler and get into confrontations with him. But instead, that was more of throwing Lawler a bone, having him do a couple quick things in the ring, make people remember that he's a wrestler before they let Kendrick go. Kendrick was on a hot streak in SmackDown. He was teamed with Ezekiel Jackson, and they were trying to rebuild the same type of feeling you used to get with Shawn Michaels and Diesel. And it worked until they decided to split the guys up and put Kendrick on Raw and Jackson on ECW, and that was pretty much the end for Brian Kendrick. And of course, no one can forget Brian Kendrick's long run with Paul London as a tag team. I think they were called, the Hooligans? I think that's what it was. Well, regardless. So they are both out. Hopefully they will reteam on the indie circuit. Maybe they can get to ROH, Dragon's Gate, something like that. But gone from WWE. So there you go with that. Now, let's get into Friday Night SmackDown. It opens up with a bunch of clips from Night of Champions. It shows Jeff Hardy being CM Punk for the title. They used a whole bunch of clips from the Twist of Fate DVD package of Jeff Hardy as a child. Kind of threw that in there, showing that winning the title was the greatest thing of his career. So you can take that for whatever it means. He comes out and he basically talks about, this was something he's always wanted, and he's here for the fans, and nobody's perfect, but he's doing the best he possibly can because he loves the fans, he loves to perform, he's going to be the greatest champion, and he's going to bring some of the best main events you'll ever see on Friday Night SmackDown. They hit the music for Crime Time, and those guys came out and did the funky little slap hands with Jeff, gave him hugs, and then he left. They go to commercial, come back. They've got the Hart Dynasty versus Crime Time. They announced the winner of this match will receive the title shot at the Unified Tag Titles for the next pay-per-view, which I guess that's SummerSlam. And this was a very good match, actually. I thought that some of their past matches, Hart Dynasty would look good, Crime Time didn't look good, or Teddy Hart would look good, but D.H. Smith didn't look good, or, all those types of things going on, but this was, as an opening match, it was great. I think both teams did an excellent job here. JTG, just again, his performance here was fantastic, and just really, it's a great match, especially if you're a fan of tag teams. You want to check that one out. Let's see here. Music hit for Crime Time. Let's see. I believe it was JTG did, what do they call that? The shout out. And then got the pin on Kidd, Tyson Kidd. And, you know, excellent match. They hit the music. And Big Show's and Jericho's new morphed, modified music. Basically, it sounds like you're listening to Big Show's theme, and it sounds like you're listening to Jericho's, and then it kind of cuts back and forth and remixes. It's kind of neat, although, you know, if you're going to blend two songs together, you really want songs that, you know, sound a little better together. This is not the highest quality mashup you're going to find of two songs, but it's still pretty cool. It still kind of works. So they came out, Big Show. Big Show with a beard, fine. Big Show with a goatee, fine. Big Show with a Van Dyke just does not work. It just looks, his head looks off balance or something. I don't know what the deal is, but it just does not look right on him. But he came out in a suit, looked like a bouncer from a speakeasy in Chicago in 1924. But he and Jericho, you know, cut a little promo. They hated Crime Time, they hate all these fans. These guys are never going to amount to anything because between the two of them, Jericho and Big Show have had over 40 titles. And Crime Time interrupts. Shad says, you know, we're not looking at the Unified Tag Champions. We're looking at Han Solo and Chewbacca. And I'm not exactly sure how that's an insult. I think someone calling me Han Solo or Chewbacca is fine in my book, but regardless, that's what they did. So then Shad starts talking Wookiee and growling at him and making the noises, which I cannot do, and no, I'm not even going to try now. But, you know, basically made fun of Big Show's size, and Big Show said, well, you know what, I'm bigger than you, which makes me better than you, makes me better than everybody in this crowd, and I'm just the toughest giant you'll ever meet. And so that was the end of that. It was fine. It didn't really have a lot of heat or intensity, but then I guess Jericho and Big Show are not the type of people that are going to have that type of heat and intensity in doing a promo like this. So it was okay. I don't know that necessarily makes me want to, you know, see their match at the pay-per-view, especially with not a lot of build going into the two of them facing off. They're going to have to, you know, do a little more to get you excited between the two of them, but regardless. Let's see. We saw a video package about how good John Morrison is. And then instead of going into his match, they decided to do Michelle McCool versus... Michelle McCool and Layla versus Eve Torres and Melina. I don't know. This was... I don't know if this is the worst women's match in history, but it was not good. They've definitely had a lot of stinkers this summer, and this is just another one on the pile that you're not going to like it, and it was pretty much a waste of time. So, there you go. Melina and Eve got the pinfall. And that's all we really need to say about that. They showed Josh Matthews backstage. He introduced CM Punk. CM Punk said that Jeff's win was basically an upset. It was a fluke. Jeff Hardy is not the better man. You know, there's no way that Jeff Hardy and the lifestyle he lives is going to make him a long-reigning champion, and that CM Punk is going to win his title back because he's more deserving, basically, to be champion. So it was a fine promo. Nothing really drew me out of it, but being that I'm not the greatest CM Punk fan in the world, you know, of course I wasn't exactly blown away by it, but I say he did a pretty good job, and he did a good job of doing the tweener thing, where he says, you know, I've got my fans, I've got people who believe in me, I wish Jeff Hardy was straight edge, I wish everybody was straight edge, the world would be so much better, and you know, he didn't come off sounding all that cocky or heelish or whatever. He just sounded more like, someone with an ideological difference. So he kind of started out saying Jeff Hardy didn't deserve it, but then he kind of came back and sounded a little more diplomatic about it. So kind of interesting how they did that there. All right, let's see. Next match was... Oh, this was awesome. Next match was Dolph Ziggler and Mike Knox versus Rey Mysterio and Finlay. I've been a big proponent of Dolph Ziggler. I love Rey Mysterio. Finlay is one of the best guys in the business. And I gotta say, Mike Knox looked really good here tonight. I want to say particularly, Finlay and Mike Knox, when those two went at each other in the ring, it was one of those situations where I'm watching those guys go at it, and I'm thinking, I want to see those two in a singles match. That's how good they played off each other tonight. Everything about this match was just great. Let's see here. Everybody, I guess the big thing that was going on here was that... Finlay was in the ring for a lot of it, trying to get to Rey for the hot tag. This is a must-see match. This is if you DVR Friday Night SmackDown and you don't feel like watching a whole lot, you're not too big on watching the main event, Jeff Hardy, whatever, fine. Okay, but watch this tag match. I've never been so blown away by a guy like Mike Knox, someone who I figured was just going to be the filler in this match, maybe a guy to take the heat, but can't say enough that it was great. Ziggler looked great. Oh, and before the match, they showed Ziggler backstage walking to the ring, and he was walking with Maria, and so those two were not broken up. She gave him a little kiss, wished him luck, and stayed backstage when he went out for his match. So they're still together. They're still going to play something with those two. So good for him, as far as that goes. Just energetic match. Crowd was into it. Just everything was great on every level. Rey Mysterio and Finlay got the pin. I think it was Rey actually got it on Dolph Ziggler. This reminded me that Mike Knox and Rey Mysterio used to have a feud, and when those two were in the ring, I was kind of like, man, well, you know, but Finlay and Mike Knox was great. Ziggler and Rey Mysterio was great, so I hope both those matches are making it to the pay-per-view, because I cannot wait to see singles matches from those guys together. They showed Joey Matthews again backstage, this time interviewing John Morrison, and here is the problem. Morrison as a heel is good. Morrison as a face, not good. Morrison as a face doing a face promo that you can tell was scripted by somebody else and he has to smile and be happy through the whole thing, terrible. This was just a terrible, terrible promo. The problem is Morrison, I don't think, is a very intense person. I don't think he's very good at cutting intense promos. And so... He's a much more laid-back type of dude, but the type of promo they gave him here was to be a happy, energetic, smiling through the whole thing, a rocky blue chipper, just bad. Just bad, 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 bad. Terrible. They pretty much need to watch that promo and make sure they never give him anything like it ever again. They showed Great Khali and Rajing Singh walking to the ring as they cut to commercial, so you knew there was something going on with Khali next. And when they came back, you got to see Charlie Haas in the ring. So Charlie Haas getting no entrance, standing there looking like a regular DH, and sucks to be Charlie Haas. Unless he is making dirt poor money off of WWE and they don't mind stringing him along, he's going to be released soon. I guarantee it. And, he just went for the Khali squash. He got some offense on him, opened up pretty strong, but then Khali blocked him. Khali started getting all his offense, put him in for the choke slam. And, of course, at that point, Kane comes out. As soon as Khali sees Kane, Khali goes for him. Kane powders out, grabs Rajing Singh, starts going up the entryway. So Khali comes out to chase after him. He throws Rajing Singh down and goes up to the stage and stops. Khali stops to check on Singh and just kind of stands there. hunched over him, kind of looking at Kane, looking at Singh, looking at Kane, looking at Singh. Kali just not really doing anything. Kane not doing anything either. Just standing there staring at him like a straight DH. So, no, gosh. The match, you know, started out fine for what it was. You knew it was going to be a Kali squash, but it had a lame no contest finish. It had a lame pointless run-in. It had a lame attack on the manager, and it ended poorly. So a total fail from all sides. We come back for our main event, Jeff Hardy versus John Morrison. I didn't pay real close attention to the clock, but I want to say they gave the main event like 40 minutes. It was something crazy like that. Maybe it was a half hour. I don't know, but it was long. These two basically had a match where they kept each other grounded until the end. And then once they started going up top, they were going up top for the big moves, and you could tell that the match was getting ready to wrap up. It was actually really good as far as that goes. They did a lot of submission moves, a lot of ground moves. Again, working on those submissions, trying to get them in your mind, heading into this fall's pay-per-view of submission matches. But they did a lot of keeping each other grounded, keeping each other slow until someone was able to break out, start hitting fast moves. Then they could start using the ropes. They could start using the turnbuckles, getting up top, doing stuff off the top ropes. You know, Hardy hit him with a swanton, but Morrison kicked out. So they went back and forth more and more. Morrison hit the Starship Pain, but Hardy got his knees up, blocked it, he hit the Twist of Fate, he went and hit the second Swanton, and he got the pin. CM Punk comes down to the ring, and the two are kind of looking at each other like they're going to face off, and CM Punk just, you know, he's trying to be very careful, very deliberate. He's like, hey, I don't want to fight. He grabs Hardy's hand, holds it up, you know, this is your winner, everybody. Hardy's looking at him like he's nuts. CM Punk grabs a microphone and he goes, listen, here's Jeff over the past couple, and then boom, hits him on the head with the mic and just beats the living crap out of him. Throws him outside the ring, beats the crap out of him. Grabs the steps and uses the steps to launch himself into Hardy and beats the crap out of him. And then he starts to leave and starts walking up the entryway, and then he stops and he thinks for a minute and he turns around and he runs back and just beats the crap out of Jeff Hardy some more. And just beat the crap out of him and beat the crap out of him. And then when he was done with that, he beat the crap out of him. Jeff Hardy has the cleanest colon in all of the United States because he got the crap beat out of him 12 times in a row in the last 6 minutes of SmackDown. I mean, it was insane crazy. This was one of those times where you're like, someone's got to do the run-in, you know. Crime Time's going to come running out here. Rey Mysterio's going to come running out here. Matt will make a dramatic return, come rolling down in the wheelchair, beat him with a crutch. You know, something's going to happen here. Nothing. I mean, he just got beat and beat and beat. And this was awesome. The match with Morrison was great. Punk coming out and just beating the crap out of him afterwards was fantastic. I mean, this was a full, you know, we talk about Punk being kind of the tweener, kind of going back and forth. His promo earlier starts out heavy, but kind of pulls back a little bit. And then he comes out tonight, and he's being a little more diplomatic. And then just, boom, heel 120%. I mean, you could not get any more heel than this. If they come back next week and they kind of play it off, and he's like, sorry, I just kind of lost control of myself, and blah, 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 that will ruin everything. But if they play him up as top heel, then we all win. So if for no other reason, you're going to have SmackDown on your DVR, and you're thinking, maybe I'll watch it, maybe I won't, watch the tag match. Ziggler, Knox, Mysterio, Finlay. Watch that and think about the singles matches you can see between these guys, and then come back and watch this main event. This was I dare say, this was a pay-per-view quality main event from Morrison and Punk. The promos going into it weren't the best, I didn't think, but the match itself was really good, told a good story, and then the ending with CM Punk coming out was just fantastic. So, all in all, great SmackDown, great show. Everybody needs to check it out tonight. There was no Pretty Ricky, and there was no Word Up, so there's two more bonuses as far as the show goes there. So, I'm a happy camper with this episode of SmackDown, so I'm probably going to watch it tonight as it broadcasts on my network TV. It was that good. So everybody make sure you check it out, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday as we take a look at Jeremy Piven on Monday Night Raw. I wish they would just call him Draws. Be like, Draws from Port Chester University is going to be on Monday Night Raw. So we'll talk to you guys later.